Brendan wasted no time dragging Ryan outside, tugging sharply on his wrist whenever he fell behind. Once they were out in the fresh air, he pressed the boy against the scarred brick wall of the club, tipping his face back much the way Gerard had, to look at the dark circles under Ryan's eyes. "You haven't been sleeping," Brendan said unnecessarily. He stroked his fingertips across Ryan's jaw, smiling to hear the way his heart sped up at that. "I can't," Ryan said, his voice scratchy and unused, almost as though it had been a while since he'd last spoken to someone. "Every time I close my eyes. That's why I came looking for you." "Bad dreams?" Brendan asked, as he continued to look the boy over. He had bruises on his hands, and, though the others weren't visible, he could smell them beneath his clothes. Ryan hadn't been eating either, if the gauntness of his face was any indication. "It's not just dreams," Ryan exclaimed. "Some of them have happened already, and that means the rest..." Brendan clamped a hand over Ryan's mouth and looked around warily. Christ, was the kid seriously about to blurt out something like that out in public where anyone could hear? That thought quickly gave way to another, more incredulous one. Fucking visions! They were rare, even among fully turned vampires. That Ryan got them after only being marked was unheard of. Had it been anyone else, Brendan wouldn't have believed it. But this was Ryan, who was nothing if not exceptional. Ryan, who looked like death warmed over, slumped against the wall. "We'll talk about this somewhere else," Brendan said, glancing around to see if they'd attracted anyone's attention. He made sure to check the rooftops above them, but there was no sign of Gerard, his associates, or any other nosy vampire who might have been interested in dandy gossip. He led Ryan around the corner, away from potential witnesses, before making short work of stealing a car. The vehicle's owner had helpfully left the keys in the ignition, which Brendan was thankful for. He glanced down at the dashboard clock as he took a corner at several miles past the speed limit. He had 52 minutes left. Brendan looked over at Ryan as he drove, paying only the bare minimum of attention to the road. The kid held his hands in his lap, fingers twisted together. His shoulders were hunched, and he was fighting to keep his eyes open. Brendan supposed, now that the adrenaline was wearing off, Ryan would have more trouble pushing off his exhaustion. "Have you told anyone about this?" Brendan asked, turning left against the light. He ignored the car horns from angry drivers and pushed the car even further past the speed limit. Ryan snorted. "Hey, Spencer, I can see the future. I'd ask if you wanted to come over, but I already know you're going to say no." "Point taken," Brendan said. He pulled onto Ryan's street and began looking for a place to park. He pulled up in front of a fire hydrant across from the building. "Come on, we'll go inside and I want you to tell me everything." He let Ryan lead the way, stopping first to collect his mail from the little metal box with his name on it. Brendan rested a hand low on Ryan's back, his fingertips tucked beneath the waistband of his jeans as he studied him. He was well aware of how they looked, even without hearing the whispers of the nosy neighbors gathered in the dirty lobby. What else were they supposed to think when a boy, too thin and looking strung out, brought home a well-dressed young man? No one did anything other than whisper, so Brendan let it go. When the elevator doors opened, he followed Ryan inside and hit the button for his floor. Once inside the tiny apartment, Brendan checked the clock in the living room. He still had 40 minutes. He would have liked more time, but he'd have to make do with what Beckett had given him. He stared Ryan into the kitchen and propped him against the counter. "You need to eat," he announced, rummaging through the small freezer until he found a cheap, microwavable lasagna.
"I'm not hungry," Ryan said.
Brendan ignored him, ripping into the box and pulling out the cardboard tray. He stuck it into the microwave and set the timer.
"You..."
Ryan stammered.
"Yes, I can use a microwave," Brendan replied, rolling his eyes. "I'm not that old, Ryan. I did have one."
"How?"
"Time is short, and we're not here to talk about me," Brendan interrupted. "How did this whole thing start?"
"You mean, after you forced that shit into my mouth?" Ryan asked, glaring at Brendan as he shoved a lock of hair off his forehead.
"Obviously," Brendan said, not bothering to point out that it was hardly forced when Ryan had opened his mouth willingly enough.
He busied himself by pulling a plate and silverware from the drain board next to the sink.
"It was little things at first. Stuff Spencer was going to say, things customers were going to ask for. I could live with that. I mean, it was annoying as hell, but it wasn't bad."
Ryan looked over at Brendan for a moment before sliding his eyes away, staring at the cracked linoleum floor.
"It didn't scare you," Brendan supplied.
Ryan said nothing, but he did nod after a moment. Silence stretched between them for several long minutes, until it was finally interrupted by the beep of the microwave. Brendan took the lasagna from the tray and slid it onto the plate before handing it to Ryan.
"I'm not hungry," Ryan said automatically. "Don't make me do it for you," Brendan warned.
Ryan sighed and picked up the fork. He ate standing at the kitchen counter, mostly pushing the food around, but eventually getting some of it into his mouth. Brendan looked at the clock again. 30 minutes.
"Do you see yourself in these dreams?" Brendan asked.
Ryan shook his head, taking a moment to chew before speaking.
"I mean, I don't see myself walking down the street or anything," he began. "But I mostly just sort of see things from someone's point of view. It could be me, I guess. I fucking hope not."
He shuddered. Brendan listened attentively as Ryan described night after night of bad dreams, of waking up screaming and scared of the dark. He kept his distance, hands in his pockets so he wouldn't be tempted to touch and ruin the flow of Ryan's words. When the food was gone, Brendan held his hand out.
"You need to sleep," he said.
Ryan watched him warily. After a moment, Brendan sighed and dropped his hand, gesturing toward Ryan's bedroom instead. Ryan shifted his weight from one foot to another before deciding that it wasn't worth the argument. He headed toward his bedroom, his shoulder brushing against Brendan's arm as he slipped through the kitchen doorway. Brendan watched as Ryan wriggled out of his jeans and slid on a pair of black sweatpants he'd picked up off the floor.
"You know, most humans experience sharper hearing or eyesight when they're marked. There's few vampires who have premonitions. Leave it to you to be special."
Ryan looked up at him, the quilt pulled up to his neck.
"How do they stand it?" he asked.
Brendan sat on the edge of the bed and pulled the blanket down a few inches so he could rest his fingertips against Ryan's pulse.
"It's different for us," he said after a moment. "During the day, we're dead to the world. We're not really there. We just wake up near sunset, and if we dreamed, then it's just there in our heads."
His fingers trailed up over Ryan's chin to rest against his lips.
"It won't always be like this, Ryan." "I don't want to be like you," Ryan said quickly, his lips brushing Brendan's fingers.
"Of course not,"
Brendan said, his mouth twisting. There were so many things he could say to that, but he didn't have the time to argue. Instead, he said, Gerard will be gone soon, and hopefully he'll be able to sleep again. The words were hollow. He had no idea if Ryan's dreams were actually about Gerard. The last seer he'd met had seen things years in advance. He didn't say any of that, only moved his hand so he was cupping Ryan's jaw. The kiss was slow and sweet. Ryan fell asleep in the middle of it. The fire escape was cold under his hands, the rust of metal leaving orange flakes on his fingers, falling down in small particles to cling to his pant legs. The clothes would have to be changed once he left, but luckily there was a fine garment shop not far away that would suit his needs. He climbed to the sixth floor, kneeling on the hard diamond plate, and leaned close to the window. He could feel the barrier there, whatever it was that kept him out uninvited. He might have been able to influence the apartment's inhabitant, but his abilities only worked if there was a small seed of interest underneath the inhibitions. He doubted this particular human would be easily swayed. Not when he lived in such an unsavory part of town, alone. He had been there once before, on his first visit to the city. The boy had been an accidental discovery, someone he'd had a fleeting glimpse of while he'd been following Beckett. Then, he'd been nothing more than something to file away for later, another weapon in his arsenal. Imagine his surprise to return tonight and find another vampire in the little apartment. The boy's scent had changed, too. That much was obvious, even through the partially open window. He'd been marked by the young mesmerist, which proved that Beckett had once again taken an interest in people that didn't belong to him. He leaned in close to the window, looking through the dirty pane at the boy in the bed. He was small, curled up on his side, clutching a torn piece of paper in his left hand. Ryan bolted upright in bed, a scream on his lips as he turned toward the window. He sat in the middle of the mattress, clutching the blanket in his right hand, afraid to let go, as though that alone could keep him safe. Someone had been looking at him. He was sure of it. Or maybe it hadn't happened yet. Maybe he would have to wait for it, terrified, half expecting to see a face staring back at him whenever he looked out at the fire escape. Ryan pressed the heels of his hands against his eyes and sighed. Something crinkled against his forehead, scratching at his skin. Ryan pulled his hand away, opening his fist to find a small slip of paper clenched in his left hand. Well, that settled it then. He shivered as his eyes once again slid toward the window. Had it been Gerard on the fire escape? One of his friends? Whoever it was, he'd been there before, watching him, planning to use him for something. He's not the only one, Ryan's mind whispered. He'd been following Beckett. An image of Beckett rose in Ryan's mind, looking the way he had when Ryan first met him outside of Dustin's house. He'd been smug then, pleased that he'd had a hand in Ryan's survival. His smile as he looked around Brendan's shoulder stayed with Ryan for weeks. He'd always wondered why Beckett even bothered. Now he knew. Ryan much preferred being in the dark. This new bit of knowledge only scared him. Shaking his head, Ryan turned his attention back to the little piece of paper in his hand. There was a phone number printed in the middle, vertically across the horizontal lines. They began as neat, even figures, but they became sloppier as the series progressed. The last number 8, not even properly closed at the top. Below the numbers were 4 words, scrawled messily, the ballpoint pen having been pressed deeply into the paper. "If you need me." Brendan had a phone number. It shouldn't have been surprising, considering how insulted he'd been about the microwave. With a tired sigh, Ryan put the slip of paper on his bedside table. He'd program it into his cell later, even though he had no idea what the hell he'd say if he ever had to call. "I didn't think I'd have anything," Mikey said as they made their way down the street. His excitement was palpable, betraying his youth and inexperience. It would be best to rein in Mikey's enthusiasm, to not let on that it had taken nearly 10 years to find his talent. At the very least, it was a good idea to keep the ability itself a secret. Stories spread, Gerard knew. Everyone seemed to know about Briar, after all. Sometimes it was good to keep a low profile, especially when Mikey's talent was good for picking out allies and loved ones. He was hardly the first vampire to develop that particular talent, though. There were several back home, and probably one among Beckett's dandies as well. "Enough of that," Gerard said after a moment, watching as Mikey schooled his features into a mask of calm indifference. "Tell me what you saw." Mikey launched into the details, and Gerard listened attentively, fascinated as Mikey tried to put into words something he'd only experienced once before. He didn't have the proper vocabulary for it. He kept pausing, searching for the right word. Gerard would have to put him in touch with someone who could rectify that. He didn't want Mikey to be brushed off simply because he hadn't had the opportunity to learn. The odd feeling of pride Gerard felt grew as Mikey's voice lost its confused hesitance, his confidence growing as he described the blue tinge that enveloped both the boy, Ryan, and the vampire who'd staked his claim. "It's not like a floodlight or anything like that. More of an aura. A faint one. Blood calls to blood. It's bound to leave a mark." "You're right," Gerard said. He pulled Mikey's hat off and ran his hand through his hair, tucking the long bangs behind Mikey's ears. After a moment, he put the hat back on and dropped his hands to Mikey's shoulders. "When we get home, you'll be able to study that," Gerard said. "For now, how about a little practice?" Mikey smiled. "What did you see when you looked at Beckett?" Gerard asked. Mikey's smile dissolved into a frown. "Not much," he admitted. "There was a little..." He trailed off and closed his eyes, presumably to replay the scene. "There were a few sparks of green," he continued after a moment. "Not much, though," he said apologetically. Gerard nodded, absently rubbing at an invisible speck on Mikey's jacket. He'd been afraid of that. The talent was still too new to be anything more than sporadically useful. Still, what he had in mind should be fairly easy, given the uniqueness of his target. "We're going to find someone," Gerard said. "Have you heard the stories, Mikey? About Beckett and the human boy who turned him down?" Briar snickered. He'd been the one to tell them to Gerard. He'd also been the one to pick Gerard up off the floor when he'd laughed himself sick. "No," Mikey said eagerly. "He was still so young," Gerard observed. He really was no good at hiding how pleased he was at the thought of being let in on some secret. They would have to work on that. Beckett turned him against his will, no doubt figuring that instinct would take over like it does with so many of us. Who knows, maybe it even worked at first, but it didn't stick in the long run. The boy went back to his family. He hunts us now, and Beckett still hasn't let go. Not completely. You want me to find him, Mikey said. Point him out for me, and I'll tell Gabriel how helpful you were, Gerard promised. Can't be that hard to find him, Mikey said dubiously. Gerard liked that about him. He wasn't stupid. He knew what Gerard was doing. Regardless of that fact, he was able to see the bigger picture. That playing along would be beneficial in the long run. We'll have to keep our ears to the ground, find where they hunt. As soon as I'm face to face with him, I'll be able to see if he matches Beckett like Ryan does the mesmerist. Briar clapped Mikey on the shoulder, and the three of them set off in search of information. Ryan's shift at the bookstore ended at 8:30 on Monday evening, which was a nice change for once, since he could skip the cleanup. A shipment of books had come in earlier in the day, and though Mrs. Elliot had been busy for most of his shift, and he hadn't seen her for more than 10 minutes, it was nice to know that she was there. True, she kept throwing concerned looks his way whenever she came up to the front, but she didn't ask him too many questions. That was good, because to say Ryan was distracted would be an understatement. He'd managed to survive the weekend, his head replaying the same dream over and over again. Staying awake hadn't proven much better. His thoughts swung from the number stored in his phone to the half-remembered sensation of sleepy kisses and hands on his face. He wasn't entirely sure if that part was real, or if his head was playing tricks on him, providing physical sensation to accompany the images in his mind. Open-mouthed kisses moving along his jaw toward his ear, the feeling of warm breath on his lobe before the wetness of a tongue pressed flat as it licked down to the fluttering pulse in his throat. Words of encouragement murmured against his skin, urging his hips up, knees apart, heels slipping across the bedsheets. "Heading out, Ryan?" Mrs. Elliot asked, her voice floating over from the stacks, breaking Ryan from the memory. He rubbed at his forehead, trying to clear his thoughts. "Yeah, I'm going to stop by the drugstore before I go home," he said. He hadn't intended to tell her anything, but she knew where he lived, and if she saw him walking in the opposite direction, she was liable to start questioning him more strenuously. It wasn't a lie. He was on his way to the drugstore. If Mrs. Elliot wanted to think he was going for an over-the-counter sleep aid instead of the caffeine pills and a Red Bull he really needed, that was her problem. "Okay, dear. Remember, the one in the green box works best. If you need to cancel your shift tomorrow to stay in bed, don't worry about it." The dream flashed before his eyes again. Sweat slicked skin so hot everywhere they touched, hips snapping forward, stretch and burn, so different but still so good. Ryan nearly choked. "I will," he croaked, throwing his school bag over his shoulder and fleeing the store before Mrs. Elliot could come down from where she was working in the stacks. It was dark outside, and Ryan found himself hypnotized by the car headlights as they cut through the night. After a while, he blinked twice to focus his vision, and realized he'd spent half the 20-minute walk in a trance. He was lucky he hadn't stepped out in front of a bus. As it was, he'd missed his turn. Ryan was backtracking when he caught sight of a reflection in the window of a convenience store. There was someone across the street, looking at him. It was obviously a dandy. There was no mistaking the outfit. The look on his face told Ryan very clearly that he didn't care about Brendan's mark. He wasn't going anywhere. Ryan turned quickly and continued on his way, trying to sneak covert glances in shop windows and other reflective surfaces. Maybe it was a coincidence. After a few minutes, he realized he wasn't that lucky. The vampire continued to follow him at a leisurely pace. Hands trembling, Ryan reached into his pocket and pulled out his cell phone. Brendan's number was the first on in the directory. He pushed the send button almost desperately. It rang for an incredibly long time. "Well, this is a surprise, I'll admit," an amused voice drawled. It was Beckett. Ryan's heart sank. "Where's Brendan?" he asked, looking nervously over his shoulder. "Out hunting," Beckett replied. "Seems he forgot his phone, which was sloppy of him, wasn't it? I see he programmed you in, though. That must make your teenaged heart happy."
"Not really," Ryan said through gritted teeth. "The pharmacy was just at the end of the street. He could make it."
"What's wrong, then?"
"I'm being followed," Ryan said,
his fingers tightening around the smooth plastic of his phone. The vampire was slowly gaining on him, the almost bored expression on his face giving way to a smirk as he watched Ryan nearly trip over his own feet in an effort to get away.
"I don't doubt that at all,"
Beckett laughed in Ryan's ear.
"You're a lovely boy."
"Followed by someone with fangs?" Ryan hissed.
"No one would be so stupid,"
Beckett said slowly. "Well, unless I'm imagining the dandy behind me, then I'd say that, yes, someone is that stupid," Ryan said. He nearly collided with someone coming out of the drugstore, but didn't stop to apologize. Once inside the store, he breathed a small sigh of relief. At least there, in the harsh fluorescent glare, he felt a little safer.
"Where are you?"
Beckett demanded. Ryan could hear movement, something that sounded like the rustling of bed covers as Beckett got to his feet.
"Stay there," Beckett ordered. "Don't move a muscle."
Ryan wondered if he'd be able to keep his word. He made his way toward the front cashes, keeping his eyes on the large windows that looked out onto the sidewalk. The dandy was still out there, walking calmly, hands in his pockets. As he passed Ryan, he smiled sweetly and tipped his hat with a wink.
"Can I help you?"
the clerk in a blue polyester shirt asked. His name tag read Daniel, and he looked Ryan up and down disdainfully, not even bothering to be subtle.
No, Ryan stammered. "I'm waiting for someone. I'll grab my stuff when he gets here."
Ryan wasn't stupid enough to think that Beckett would wait patiently for him to make his way through the cash, but the last thing he wanted was to be kicked out of the drugstore for loitering. Daniel didn't seem impressed with his story. His gaze was uncomfortable, and Ryan finally snapped.
"For fuck's sake," he said. "Just give me a bottle of water for now."
He reached into his pocket and pulled out a crumpled $10 bill. The clerk led him to the nearest cash and rang up the sale, handing back his change and seemingly content to leave Ryan standing near the window now that he'd bought something. Ryan leaned close to the glass, trying to catch sight of the mystery vampire. There was no sign of him, but Ryan wasn't stupid enough to think the dandy had gone, even if his instincts were screaming at him to just run. He stayed there, fingers gripping painfully to the bottle of water, barely even feeling the condensation on the side of the plastic. It wasn't long before a sleek, black car pulled up in front of the drugstore. It was all polished paint and prominent emblem on the hood. Expensive, Ryan knew, even though he had no idea what make it was.
There were two men in the front seat, dandies that Ryan had never seen before. Beckett was sitting in the back. He wasted no time in opening the door, sliding out of the car and adjusting his jacket as he looked around for Ryan. If he'd had his way, Ryan would have ducked down behind the magazine rack, hidden until Beckett left. Something was screaming at him to turn, to get away, that Beckett was definitely the last person he should be trusting at the moment. Ryan did none of those things. He stood rooted in place as Beckett came inside, an amused smile on his face. "Well, Ryan, your ride awaits," he said. "Where are we going?" Ryan asked. He should have thought this through better, he realized. Was Beckett likely to even bring him home? He could end up anywhere with no way of getting back. "Somewhere safe," Beckett replied. He pressed one hand to Ryan's back. His fingers splayed between his shoulder blades and urged the boy to move. Ryan took two involuntary steps forward before he caught himself, digging his heels in and pushing backwards. He felt a hand between his shoulders, shoving until he lost his balance and tumbled into the cattle car. The memory wasn't his, but it still made him sick to his stomach. "Come along, Ryan," Beckett said firmly. "Standing out in the open isn't such a good idea. Honestly, what is Brendan teaching you?" At the mention of Brendan, Ryan looked at the vampire sharply. "Did you tell him I called?" he asked. Maybe if Brendan knew, Ryan would get out of this in one piece. "How? I have his phone, Ryan." Beckett's tone clearly conveyed his distaste at being questioned. Ryan clenched his jaw against the rest of his questions and tried his best to keep his imagination from cooking up some truly horrifying scenarios. Ryan was ushered into the back seat, next to Beckett, who kept shooting Ryan amused looks whenever he caught the boys staring nervously at the two men in the front. They still hadn't spoken yet, hadn't done anything more than give Ryan a cursory once-over. "So, what did he look like?" Beckett asked as they slowed for a stoplight. Ryan was surprised. He hadn't thought a vampire would care for the rules of the road. Brendan certainly hadn't seemed bothered by them the few times Ryan was in a car with him. Ryan shrugged as he considered Beckett's question, unsure of how to answer. He hadn't seen much of his stalker, only glimpses from afar and then the brief moment when he'd walked past. He'd had brown hair, nice clothes, hazel-ish eyes. It could have been anyone, really. Ryan said as much, eyes on his lap, watching as he threaded and unthreaded his fingers. "While we're sharing, is there anything else you'd like to tell me, Ryan?" The question made Ryan's heart stop. No, he most definitely did not want to tell Beckett anything else. The gnawing feeling in his stomach was back, telling Ryan to say as little as he could possibly get away with. He shook his head, not trusting himself to speak. Beckett didn't ask again, though he did give Ryan a disbelieving look. Ryan went back to staring out the window, trying not to watch the vampires around him with worried eyes. It was shortly after 11 when Brendan returned to the safe house. He'd fed quickly, taking a wannabe thug from the city park, before setting off for Ryan's home. The apartment had been empty,
and no one had been there for quite some time. He checked the bookstore after that, but it had been closed by then, and there was no sign of Ryan. The subsequent trip to Spencer's had taken longer than expected. The family had been out, no doubt enjoying some wholesome family fun, judging by the boy's expression of relief when he got out of the car. It was only the work of a second to draw Spencer away, to press him up against the side of the garage and question him about Ryan's whereabouts. Spencer hadn't spoken to Ryan much in the last few weeks, since he'd gotten sick, Spencer called it. He'd seen him at school when Ryan bothered to attend, but Ryan never returned his calls anymore. Spencer was worried. He would be a problem when Brendan finally took Ryan. He knew it, but they would have to cross that bridge when they got to it. There was no time for preemptive measures. After that, Brendan returned home, knowing that time was running short. Beckett had given them a few hours to themselves as a reward for loyal service, and it wouldn't do to be late. As it was, Brendan wasn't sure how Beckett would take it when he told him that Ryan couldn't be found. What Brendan needed was enough time to stretch the connection between them, to learn how to follow it over long distances. He wasn't entirely sure that Beckett would give it to him. "I feel like a parent waiting up for a naughty child," Beckett said, as Brendan walked up the flagstone path. Brendan watched as the two vampires behind Beckett turned and went back inside, giving them privacy. "I'm not late," Brendan said, fingering his pocket watch. "No, but I have been waiting regardless," Beckett said with a small smile. "What happened?" Brendan asked, suspicious. "I've brought you a present. Don't say I never do anything for you, Brendan." Beckett was very nearly rocking back and forth, he was so pleased with himself. "I even tucked him into your bed myself." He didn't seem to enjoy that very much, but I bet he's still there. "Ryan?" Brendan asked. Beckett's smile grew, and Brendan ran up the front steps, pushing open the door and hurrying inside. As soon as he crossed the threshold, he could feel his connection to Ryan open, and in that instant, he knew exactly where he was. Brendan breathed a sigh of relief and headed for the staircase. When Ryan woke, it was to fingers in his hair, instead of to the scared, empty feeling left by another nightmare. It was a very nice change, and he couldn't help but moan softly. He blinked his eyes open sleepily and saw Brendan sitting on the edge of the bed.
"What time's it?"
he asked. "After 11, Brendan replied. He continued to play with Ryan's hair for another moment before asking, "What happened?"
"This followed," Ryan said with a yawn.
"Beckett answered your phone." Brendan patted his pocket, making a face when he realized it was empty.
"Do you know who it was?"
he asked.
"Someone new. I've never seen him before."
Ryan didn't mention the small sliver of a feeling that told him there was something familiar about the way he moved.
"I didn't tell Beckett about," he said instead.
"No, probably best not to," Brendan said. "Even if they are thinking I take horrible care of you." He ran fingertips across the dark bruises below Ryan's eyes.
"I'm not a hamster," Ryan protested.
"No," Brendan laughed.
"You're not."
They stared at each other for a while before Brendan shifted a little.
"I should let you sleep," he said, moving to stand up.
"You..." Ryan began, nervously pulling at the duvet cover. He already knew that Brendan would say yes, that his vision would come true in this room. Brendan was wearing the same clothes. It had to be tonight. The knowledge gave him confidence he didn't really feel, helping him to finish what he'd started. "You could stay," he said softly. Brendan's smile was slow, pleased and amused as he leaned down for a kiss. Ryan tipped his face up, meeting him halfway. His breath hitched when Brendan settled his weight on top of him, pressing him into the mattress. He knew what was coming. His dream had been incredibly vivid, everything clear and so very detailed. Brendan wouldn't go easy on him, not even if it was his first time. It would be intense and fast, and it would hurt in the best possible way. "Please," Ryan mumbled against Brendan's mouth. He wrapped his arms around Brendan's shoulders and closed his eyes. In the end, it wasn't difficult to find Beckett's hunter. There was, after all, only one vampire hunting his own kind in this particular city. He wasn't unique in the world, but Pete was certainly an oddity, and that meant notoriety. A few well-placed questions led them to a small park, deserted enough in the evenings that young lovers sat in their cars, unconcerned with prying eyes. It was, naturally, a favorite hunting ground among vampires, which made it a favorite of the little family of hunters that Pete had taken up with. Mikey's abilities weren't strong enough for him to have simply followed an invisible trail right to Pete's doorstep, but Gerard was certain that, with practice, they would grow sharper and easier to use. He let Mikey lead the way across the park, heading for a copse of trees. Gerard's strong sense of smell told him that there were humans close by, the three of them accompanied by a vampire. "It's not easy to see," Mikey said quietly, "but it's there. His aura is dark. He's one of us, so that's no surprise. But there's enough of Beckett in it that, even if he wasn't the only one, I'd say it was him." "Good," Gerard said, a hand on Mikey's shoulder. He took a deep breath and watched the four hunters as they went over an apparent plan of attack. Gerard and the others could take them easily enough, especially with Briar there to rip their deepest, darkest fears from their psyches. But for the moment, Gerard was content just to watch. There was nothing to be gained from rushing, and he still had lessons to teach. "There's something else," Mikey said, after a moment's concentration. Gerard smiled, eyes still firmly trained on Pete's associates, resisting the urge to look over at the younger vampire. "What?" Briar asked, in a slightly distracted tone of voice that told Gerard he was most likely skimming the surface of the humans' minds, looking for ammunition that might later prove useful.
"The fair one. He's been marked. I can see it," Mikey said. "It's not as strong as the other boy, Ryan, but it's there."
He laughed.
"Beckett was thrown over for a human."
Gerard nodded. He'd picked up on the boy's underlying scent, had known he'd been marked as a dandy the moment he smelled him. Still, it was nice to have proof as to who exactly had done it. After all, he was here to get at Beckett. Starting trouble with anyone else would only cause unnecessary complications. Gerard had no trouble using the little hunters for his own gain. If it came to that, none of them would get out alive. Gerard was a patient man. But there was an eventual end to that patience. He'd still wait for Beckett to lead him to Frank, but he might have to coax him into it first.
Still, there was no reason he couldn't help Mikey out along the way.
They're on the move, Gerard said, as he watched the hunters head off to put their plan into action.
Follow them, Mikey. Let's see what you can do.
Gerard waited for them to disappear before letting Mikey loose. He didn't know if Mikey followed Pete's trail or that of his boy, but Gerard didn't care. Either would work out in the end. Just before sunrise, Mikey led them to a warehouse in the middle of the city's manufacturing district. He'd done a horrible job of tracking his prey. Following too closely, losing the trail more than once, and needing Gerard to set him back on it. But he'd managed to avoid detection, most likely because the wind was apparently on their side. The whole thing made the tracker and Gerard cringe, but no one learned unless they made their own mistakes.
"We come back tomorrow," Gerard said, as he led the others back to the rented apartment that served as their safe house.
Later, as he lay in his bed nearly asleep, his mind thought in terms of shadows and contrasts, an invisible pencil moving across crisp white paper. It would be a masterpiece, he knew. He only wished he could see Beckett's face.
When Ryan woke, he was groggy and sore. He groaned softly, rubbing at his eyelids as he stretched gingerly, trying to work out some of the stiffness from his joints. It wasn't until he was cataloging his aches and pains that he realized he wasn't in his own bed. He couldn't be, not with the firm, expensive mattress and the fluffy pillows beneath his head. Ryan pried his eyes open and took in the room around him. He hadn't had much opportunity to do it last night, not when Beckett had been there, trying to pry information out of him. He'd finally allowed the vampire to tuck him in like a child, in the hope that he'd just go away. Surprisingly, it worked. With another groan, Ryan sat up. He hadn't slept much the night before, though that was hardly new. At least he hadn't woken up every hour screaming in the dark. And when he had Brendan... Ryan cut that thought short. No good could come from replaying it. He pulled himself out of bed and found the clothes he'd worn the night before, folded neatly on top of a chest of drawers across the room. He dressed slowly, feeling the drag and pull of each sore muscle, each new bruise. He felt used. He knew he should probably feel guilty about it. Ashamed, maybe. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't summon up either of those reactions. He was afraid, naturally. Confused as well. But that wasn't quite the same. Maybe he'd lost his common sense somewhere along the way. It was times like this that he'd call Spencer and ask his opinion, if not his advice. That wasn't exactly an option at this moment. And Ryan sighed as he tugged at the hem of his t-shirt. He hadn't spoken to Spencer in weeks, and he hadn't exactly been subtle about it either. When all of this finally sorted itself out, he'd have to grovel so fucking much. He'd be on his knees forever. And things would work out, Ryan told himself. He refused to believe otherwise. Scratching at his belly through his shirt, feeling a thrill race up his spine when he remembered the feel of Brendan's tongue on that exact same patch of skin, Ryan made his way out of the bedroom, into the suite's lushly decorated main room. There was a sitting area in one corner, two large, comfortable-looking chairs set next to a round table, with a full bookcase against the wall. A set of French doors broke up the long, far wall, leading out to a small balcony.
The opposite wall had a long side table, a tray placed exactly in the middle, overflowing with fruit. Several bottles of water were standing next to it. Ryan made his way over and picked up a shiny red apple. As he bit down, he couldn't help but feel a little like a pet. There was a notebook on the small round table near the bookcase. Ryan made himself comfortable in one of the overstuffed chairs and began flipping through it. The pages were full of notations that made no sense to him, the words indented deeply into the paper as though Brendan had pushed too hard on the pen. He turned to the first clean page and ran his fingers along the raised edges on the opposite side of the notebook, weighing his options. Finally, he unclipped the pen from the front cover of the notebook and began to write. His words were sloppy, nearly unintelligible in his haste to keep up with his thoughts. After an hour of frantic writing, the pen fell from cramped fingers. He'd managed to get it all out. Every image, every feeling, every single thing he had seen. He couldn't figure out why he didn't feel any different. Wasn't writing supposed to be cathartic? Shouldn't there have been some heavy weight lifted from his shoulders? Ryan curled up in the chair, hugging his knees to his chest as he stared through the French doors at the way the sun shone in the sky. He wasn't used to the feeling that was currently gnawing at his stomach. Ryan Ross was strong, independent, and self-sufficient. He had to be, to move out on his own, to get a job, pay his bills, juggle school and the real-world commitments he now had to take care of. If that was the case, why was he suddenly counting the hours until nightfall, worried about the many chances that there were to fall asleep alone? Ryan let out a deep breath and rubbed at his eyes with the heels of his hands. One night didn't change anything, he told himself. There was still a lot of shit to deal with when it came to Brendan. Now wasn't the time to grow dependent, not when things were still so unsettled. Not when Ryan had probably given Brendan a boatload of wrong ideas. Ryan sighed again and pulled himself to his feet, slowly making his way toward the balcony doors. He turned the lock and threw them open, standing in the doorway. It was early afternoon, that much he could tell by the sun. 5 or 6 hours till sundown. He could make it.